Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central podcast, making theology central.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Sunday, September the 12th, 2021. It is currently 2:58 p.m. Central Time, and I'm coming to you live from the empty sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in the middle of nowhere, Texas. Thank you for tuning in. If you are listening live, feel free to add your thoughts, your comments, or questions there in the live chat using the Spreaker app. Hit the little chat icon and share away. Ask away. Give me your 2 cents, your 3 cents, your 4 cents, your 5 cents, your $25 worth of opinion. Whatever you think your opinion is worth, feel free to share it there in the chat section or the chat using the chat icon, which would be the chat section there on the Spreaker app. So please use that. If you are not listening live, you are always free to contact me anytime. Newsif@yahoo.com, newsif@yahoo.com. And of course, if you're listening live and you don't want to say anything in the chat, you can email me as well. Newsif@yahoo.com, newsif@yahoo.com. Yes, I'm trying to talk very deliberately and slow. I'm trying to because right outside the front door of the church, I don't know, there's like six cars and they all just kind of parked right in front of the church. I don't really know what they're doing out there. I guess they're having a discussion about something. And so I just want to make sure that no one's getting ready to walk to the front door of the church once I get further into this live broadcast. Even though our church is in the middle of nowhere, it's crazy all the things that's typically happening around this building. But I'm like, I hear people talking. And I hear a bunch of, what is going on? And I went and looked out the front door and I'm like, oh, okay, there's a meeting happening in front of the church and it's not made up of any people of this church. So I'm just trying to make sure that no one needs anything, that there's nothing going on, but it appears that, the cars are dispersing. So, or at least I'm trying to look out the window here, which is, I'm sitting in the back of the sanctuary and the windows are up closer to the front of the sanctuary. So I'm trying to look out there and make sure that everything is good to go. But I think everything is fine. So are you ready? Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. And most importantly, welcome to a brand new week of Bible study. Yes, this is a Bible study exercise. And this is where it's Sunday afternoon. So a lot of times this is when we do this. Sunday afternoon, we introduce you to a new week of Bible study, and you are invited to participate. You can participate by just listening, or you can participate by actually doing the assignments, sending them to me at newsif@yahoo.com, showing me your work, asking questions, just participating, feedback, anything. But participating is just you're communicating with me, and of course, you are invited to use the curriculum that supplements everything we do here on the podcast. Go to theologycentral.net. That is our pod page, theologycentral.net. Look for the blog section. Look for the blog entry that says something like Daily Discipleship Guide. There is a link there. Follow the link. That'll take you to ministrygrid.com. Register. It's free. And then you have access to the adult study guide, the daily discipleship guide, the leader guide for the adult guide, and the leader's guide for the daily discipleship guide. Basically, you have access to 4 books digitally, obviously, 4 books in a digital format, and you can use that to supplement everything you're learning here, and hopefully you're taking advantage of that. We still have a very small number of people who are actually signed up for the curriculum. I don't know what people's hesitation is. If you're hesitating for some reason, or you're worried that I'm going to get your information, or if there's anything that's causing you to be hesitant about signing up, if you're worried about taking someone else's spot, look, as long as we've been offering this, the numbers are going to be much smaller than the number of slots we currently have. So please, whatever is causing you to hesitate, sign up, look at the curriculum and use it. And if you are using it, as always, we like to get your feedback because we want to know if it's something we should continue to offer or if it's something we should just drop and move on to the next thing that we attempt to do. But the whole goal here is to try to get you involved in serious Bible study. And what we've been doing is one passage for 1 week, one passage for an entire week. And the goal is to get you reading it, reading it, reading it, reading it, reading it, living in the passage, breathing it in, feeding upon it. So by the end of the week, that passage, you know this passage forward, backwards, upside down, left to right. You know it. You've lived in it. You've meditated on it. You've talked about it. You've discussed it. Hopefully it has, hopefully what we're trying to do, I don't know if you'll see the benefits immediately, but I think if you really spend all week doing the things that I'm telling you to do for each passage that we're studying, I think you'll be able to see the benefits at the end of the week. I really do believe that. And if you have already seen the benefits, try to get other people to participate. Get other people and say, hey, here's the podcast. Just don't listen to all the other episodes. Just listen to the Bible study exercise episodes. Here's the curriculum. You study, you contact me, especially if you're friends with them. We can talk about it. And then then you can share what you're learning together, and we can just continue to expand this and grow this until, there really isn't a goal number. Just as many people as possible digging into God's word on a daily basis and doing so, focusing on one passage of scripture for an entire week. I think the premise is good. I think the idea is good. And so we're going to continue to do it. Not just do I think the idea is good. I think the idea is more needed than ever because of the state of the church. And Christians are so preoccupied and distracted by so many things. 1 week, focusing on one passage of scripture, I think we really do need that. So we're going to continue to press on. All right, so are you ready? Brand new week. You know where we are. If you've been with us, we've been in 1 Kings. And this week, it's 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. However, we're going to add a verse. We're going to add chapter 18. Again, 1 Kings. So the actual text of study is 1 Kings 19, 1 through 18. However, we're going to add 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46 into the discussion. So really, we're going to go 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46 to chapter 19, verse 18. That's really what we're going to do this week. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46 to chapter 19, verse 18. And there's a reason we're going to back up one verse, because it's going to be a part of, well, your first assignment. You're going to get a number of assignments today, and your first assignment will start in verse 46 of chapter 18. It will all make sense. So are you ready? Notebooks open, Bibles open, thinking caps on, pencils in hand, right? It has to be a pencil. Remember, if it's not in pencil, it's not right. If it's not in pencil, it's not spiritual. It's heretical. I don't know. We'll have to find some classification, because it's really, really bad. Now, I definitely recommend pencil, because for me, not only do I prefer to write in pencil, it's just so symbolic. When I'm doing Bible study and I'm writing in pencil, I'm reminding myself every time I pick up a pencil, I am not infallible. I am fallible. Whatever conclusions I come to today may need to be erased and changed tomorrow. I will continue to always study the text anew, never relying on my previous study, but always looking at the text new, no matter how many times I've studied it and how many times I have read it. That's just such a very important attitude to have. And writing in pencil to me is very symbolic of that. So I really stress that. Yeah, sometimes in a joking way. I know some of you, you don't care. You're still going to write in pen, demonstrating the hardness of your heart and the lack of conversion. But we will pray for your salvation. I'm joking. Don't get so offended. Some people get very sensitive when I joke with them. All right, here we go. You ready? 1 Kings chapter 19. All the cars are gone. All the cars have left. So it's just you, me. Here I am in an empty sanctuary. I don't know where you are, wherever you are, if you're listening live. Here we go. Let's jump in. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. No. We're going to go back to chapter 18, verse 46, right? See, I almost skipped it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. All right, I want you to write down in your notebook Jezreel. That's J-E-Z-R-E-E-L. Jezreel. All right, I want you to write that down. And your first assignment, okay, let's go ahead and start giving you your assignments, okay? So actually, your first assignment is to read this text over and 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 over. Daily, multiple times a day, just keep reading it. I don't care how many times you've read it. I know that this is a part of the assignment that I think a lot of people are not doing. If you're not doing this, look, you're not hurting me, you're hurting yourself. Read the text over and over and over. Live with it, live in it. If you're tired of reading it, find an audio Bible, get an audio Bible program. If you're using the Blue Letter Bible app, you can have it read the chapter to you. Just listen to it over and over and over and over until the chapter is so ingrained in your brain that you just know everything in it, okay? So first, read, read, read. Secondly, try to develop an outline. What I want you to outline is chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. You don't have to add verse 46 into your outline unless you want to, but outline. We haven't done a lot of discussions about outline. Maybe we'll make that a bigger deal this week. We'll see how the week goes. All right, so number one, read it. Number two, outline it. Those are just your standing assignments every week. Read it over and over and over. You say, how many times? Read it as many times as you possibly can. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. I don't care. Just keep reading it. And then the outline, send me your outlines. I like to see how you outline the passage. Just remember, your outline is not to contain any interpretation. An outline that contains interpretation is a fraudulent, broken outline that needs to be burned. Okay, all right. I stand by that. Outlining is an observational tool. It's not an interpretive tool. Okay. Then the third thing I want you to do. So number one, read. Number two, outline. Number three, go back again to 1 Kings 18:46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I want you to look up and find out everything you can about Jezreel. I want you to know everything about this location. I've already looked up. There's a number of things I'm going to have you look up this week or starting today for your first assignments. And Jezreel is the first thing you're going to be looking up. I've already looked it up in the Bible dictionary. There's a number of entries there. Find out which Jezreel this is referring to and just ask yourself, is there anything significant about this location? Why did Elijah, is there anything significant? Think of it this way. Is there any significance to Elisha running to the entrance of Jezreel? Is there any significance to him going there? Maybe there is. Maybe there isn't. Remember the Bible study exercises. I don't do all of the teaching for you. Jezreel. Now, we already know what's happened before. Elijah's had this major confrontations with the prophets of Baal, right? Fire comes down. Everything that occurs, and we've talked, you know, all last week we talked about it. And then the 450 prophets of Baal are killed. Elijah takes them down to the brook. They are killed. All of that occurs. And after everything, then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins, ran before Ahab. Ahab, of course, the wicked king of Israel. And he takes off to the entrance of Jezreel. What is the significance to going to Jezreel? Is there any significance? You may not find any. I want you to tell me everything you learned about Jezreel and if you see any significance. Obviously, if you send me your notes, I like sources. What sources did you look up? Which dictionaries? Look it up more than one dictionary. Use study Bibles. Here's a novel idea. Use the curriculum, okay? Use the curriculum and see what they find, right? Then chapter 19, verse 1. So Elijah, he takes off. Ahab told Jezebel, Ahab's wife, all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So Ahab reports to Jezebel, hey, Elijah killed all the prophets with a sword. They were slaughtered. Right? This is not going to make anyone happy. This is going to make Jezebel unhappy. It's going to make everyone associated with Baal worship unhappy. This is a very serious developing situation. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Basically, Elijah gets a message from Jezebel. Hey, by tomorrow this time, I'm going to make you like the prophets you killed. I'm going to kill you. You've got about a day left of your entire life, and I am going to kill you. That's not really the message you want. After seeing the power of God, after seeing this great victory, after slaying the prophets of Baal, and then the next thing you know, you get a message that, hey, you've got less than a day, and I'm going to kill you. So what takes place? Verse 3, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. And when he had saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba. He runs for his life. And the next place he comes is Beersheba. So you know your assignment. Let's go through them. Read the text over and over and over. Outline Jezreel. Find out everything you can about Jezreel. And is there any significance to Elijah going there? Then he comes to Beersheba. I want you to look up everything you can about Beersheba. Find out everything you can. And is there any significance to him going to Beersheba? Now he goes to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. So he goes to Beersheba, which is in Judah. So you can look at where he was. He was at Mount Carmel, right? Then he takes off to Jezreel. Then from Jezreel, he goes to Beersheba. Okay, where was Mount Carmel? If you may want to kind of draw kind of like, he was at Mount Carmel, Jezreel to Beersheba. Now, clearly he's back in Judah. There may be significance there, right? Obviously obviously the king of Israel is mad at him. The king of Israel and his wife is mad at him. All the people who worship Baal would be upset with him. So clearly he gets out of that area and he goes back into Judah. I think there's some significance there. He's running for his life. It's a serious situation, right? So I want everything you know about Jezreel, everything you know about Beersheba. And again, there's a lot of information. I'm looking right here at the dictionary about Beersheba. See how long is the entry here. It is about three paragraphs, it looks like, about three paragraphs of information in this Bible dictionary about Beersheba. Find which part, just make sure you got the right Beersheba, make sure you got the right Jezreel, make sure you've got the right locations, and then what is the significance? Is there any significance at all? All right, so let's read all of this again together. 1 Kings 18:46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Want to know everything about it? Everything. Show me that you're an expert on Jezreel. Become an expert on it. You think I'm joking? I don't want you just to grab a dictionary or grab a study Bible and find a couple of things. I want you to really dig in. Is there any significance to it? Right? Maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but we want to make sure. Chapter 19, verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. I want to know everything about Beersheba. I want you to know everything about Beersheba. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. All right, next thing I want you to know is everything you can find out about the juniper tree. Everything. Is there any significance that he finds himself under a juniper tree? Is there a reason the text is being very specific about where he's going? And even to be so specific, it tells us what kind of tree he decides to sit down under. Now, maybe there's something significant. Maybe there's not. We don't want to make something significant if it isn't, but we don't want to ignore it either. The text wants us to know that he went from Jezreel to Beersheba to into the wilderness until he's sitting down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Now stop right there. That's where we're going to stop. We're not going to go any further today. All right, so let's go through these. Are you ready? Read it. Outline it. Those are simple. Number three, Jezreel. I want to know everything. Everything you can find. Multiple sources. Find, make sure you got the right Jezreel. Make sure this is the Jezreel that's being referred to here. And is there anything significant about it? You may see something and go, well, that's kind of interesting. This has happened. This is a lot of things have happened at Jezreel that would be very related to this. I wonder why. And you can start asking the questions and see. From Jezreel, he goes to Beersheba, which is back in Judah, right? That's what the text says, right? Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah. So he's back in Judah, back in the area of Judah, controlled by Judah. Remember the dividing of the kingdom point. We can get into all of that discussion. All right, so here he is, Beersheba. Again, get the right, make sure you've got the right Beersheba. What is the significance? Is there a significance? Right? Then he goes into the wilderness, right? Now, I'm not going to have you look up wilderness, but there's something we could possibly do with that. I'm not going to do that right now. And then he's under a juniper tree. Look up everything in the juniper tree. If you look up in the Bible dictionary under juniper tree, you're probably going to have to look under the entry for plants of the Bible. If you just look up juniper tree, there won't be an entry. You may see something that says, see plants of the Bible. So you'll have to find the entry for plants of the Bible, then go through all the plants, find the juniper tree. Right? What does it say? Right? What is there any significance there? Any significance? A juniper tree, right? And then lastly, this is very important. He's in, we know the path he took. We know where he is. He's in the wilderness near Beersheba, sitting under a juniper tree, and then we know what he does here. He basically asks the Lord to kill him. Look at how the text reads. He sits down. He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. Oh, okay. Good. According to Will, gotquestions.org has a good write-up on the juniper tree. Use that as well. Gotquestions.org. Please use that as well. Find everything you can about the juniper tree, because I think there's got to be something significant here. All right. So we know where he is. He's in the wilderness. Oh, I want to do something with that, but I'm not right now. I'm not going to do anything right now. All right. Okay. We got a whole week. We got a whole week. So I don't have to do everything. Juniper tree. And he, Lord, I'm ready to die. Take me. I'm ready to die. I want you to spend this week meditating, thinking on discouragement, depression, and suicidal thoughts in the life of a believer. I want you to really just discouragement, depression, suicidal thoughts in the life of a believer. And I think it would be unfair to not classify this as suicidal thoughts. He wants to die. Lord, kill me. I'm done. I'm finished. I give up. No more. End it now. Now this is, and don't say that this is not a person of faith. Don't say this is not a believer. This is someone being used by God, a prophet of God who just stood on Mount Carmel you had the prophets of the Grove and as well the prophets of Baal, but we always focus on the 450. But you know, a total of what, 850 prophets altogether. He's there. This fire from heaven, everything that takes place, the slaughtering of the prophets. Here's a person who's speaking for God, hearing from God, following God, and the next thing you know, he's sitting under a juniper tree near in the wilderness near Beersheba. Okay, I want to make sure all of that. The text goes out of its way to explain Jezreel, Beersheba, belongs to Judah, wilderness, juniper tree. Now, when the text is emphasizing that kind of thing, I'm not saying it screams that, oh, this is a picture or this is a type. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's significant for us then to go, well, let's look at everything we can and find out about these things. Is there something significant? Maybe there will be. Maybe there will not. Okay. I am curious about the article that Will is referring to. Will, if you can email me that, since you know my email address, if you can email that to me, I would really appreciate it. I don't want to read it now, but I want to at least have it in my email, because if you can email that to me, that will be great. That will be great. And we'll see. Again, that's at gotquestions.org. So I want you to just spend the week, though, thinking about depression, discouragement, and suicidal thoughts in the life of a believer. Some Christians have a hard time with this, all right? Some Christians feel like that it's impossible for a Christian to be discouraged or depressed or suicidal, because that almost is a sign that you're not a believer. That if you are a believer and you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you should never get discouraged, never get depressed, never have suicidal thoughts. And if you do have those thoughts, that the real issue is you need to repent, not anything else. So I want us to really think about your thoughts. It refers to it as a broom tree. Ah, there you go. Juniper tree, broom tree. Here's what you may want to do. So thank you, Will, for pointing that out. And for 1 Kings 19, for verse 4, you may want to check that in every English translation you can find to see how many refer to it as a broom tree or a juniper tree. You may want to look up the Hebrew there and see if there's a reason why. Something else you can do. I don't want to give you every step to take. Just do your research and see what you find, okay? And we'll work through all of these together, all right? But I really want you to just think about this depression, discouragement, suicidal thoughts. Here's what I want you to do if you're going to actually work this out on paper. I want you to write down or summarize what you've basically have been taught in the past in your Christian life in regards to discouragement, depression, and suicidal thoughts in the life of a believer. Maybe what you're currently being taught in the church that you're currently at, and a summary, and maybe then a summary of what you currently believe and think in regards to the subject. What have you been taught in the past? What are you being taught now? And where do you sit now? You may be full-blown acceptance of what you're currently being taught, or maybe you're in the middle between what you were taught and being taught. Maybe you reject both. Where do you think? And I would ask you, if you can, if you know a lot of Christians, or in Will's case, Sunday school teacher, just ask a lot of people what they think, where their thoughts are, what they believe. Because there's been a lot of bad thinking and teaching in this area. I think there's been some things said and done. If you're depressed or discouraged, you're demon-possessed. I mean, just crazy things I have heard. And it's just, it's unfair, it's not right. And this is a very sensitive subject to me, considering I spent 8 weeks in a mental hospital when I was a teenager for trying to take a gun and, you know, killing myself. And I was a believer. In fact, I had already become a believer. And when I knelt down that day to end my life, I even prayed, "Father, forgive me for what I'm about to do." I did not think it was right, but I had reached the end. I was done. My mother had died. There was never going to be reconciliation with my family. It was a tragedy. It was horrible. My mother was, 39 years of age. Everything was horrible. I didn't want to go on another second. I didn't want to go on another day. And, you know, praise God that someone walked in and stopped me. And those 8 weeks in a psychiatric hospital. But if someone came along and said, "Oh, you're not a believer," that would have been completely unfair, because I completely believed in Christ, trusted in Christ, but I had just reached the end of wanting to go on another day. Not saying my thinking was right, saying that people can get there. I mean, here's Elijah. Okay, a lot of people want to talk a lot of trash, okay? But that's Elijah. Look at his life. Look at the things that God used him for. And many things, he was doing things and accomplishing things from a human perspective far greater than anything you've probably ever come close to experiencing or doing. So let's be very careful when, like, nope. I think here's the thing. Some people never struggle with discouragement, depression, or suicidal thoughts. They've never even come close. They don't even understand it. And so they're very quick to go, "Man, just have some faith and believe in God. What's your issue?" Always remember, other people's spiritual weaknesses that you can't relate to are probably situations where you want to be very careful to acknowledge you cannot relate and demonstrate a little bit of compassion and sensitivity to something that you cannot relate to. But this is a major emphasis of this passage. So let's spend a week really grappling with it, really wrestling with it, really struggling with it. We want to understand these places, Jezreel, Beersheba, juniper tree in the wilderness. We want to see if there's any significance to any of this. And then here is Elijah, just he wants to die. Right? And then one other thing I want you to consider this week. And I have not checked this in all the English translations, so I don't know if this is going to be an issue, but I have it. This is one of those situations when I read it this time, all of a sudden it jumped out at me, and it had not jumped out at me before. That's why you have to read and read and read and read and read a text over and over and over and over and over and over again. I have a rule. Now, you probably won't care about this, but here's my rule. I listen to a lot of music, right? Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Central Time, all the new music drops on the streaming services, boom, headphones on, and I just listen. But I am, this is the rule I operate by. I am not going to say anything dogmatic about an album until I've listened to it 10 times. The reason why is the first three or four times I'm focusing on, okay, the music, the production, what instruments are being used. Okay, that's interesting. How do they move the genre of music forward? Is there any innovation? Are they just relying on old things? Are they borrowing? I'm just really focusing on the music, the production, how it's put together, how they're blending instruments, everything. That's all I'm focusing on. When I get to about five or six, about the fifth or sixth listen, now it's lyrics, 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 lyrics. What are they trying to say in the album? What is the message? Do I agree? Do I disagree? Do they articulate it very well? Is it good songwriting, poor songwriting? And then when I get to about number seven or eight, then I focus on, am I already tired of the album? I'm already sick of it. Am I really going to listen to this anymore? Or when I'm done with these 10 times, I'm never going to listen to it again. Because if I'm at number seven or eight and I'm like, oh, this, I want to listen to this more, that means that album is going to be put up there in my brain as one of the best albums on my list of maybe of 2021. Because now I still want to hear it more and more and more. After that many times, I want more and more. Now, the reason I have that rule is the more you listen to an album, the more you start noticing things. Like, you may not get it the first time, maybe the second time, and then all of a sudden the third time, all of a sudden something clicks and you're like, oh, wow, okay, I really like this. Same with reading a text. The more you read it, the more something jumps out. Well, I've already read this a couple of times over the last few days. I've obviously read it numerous times in the past, but when I read it today, something just jumped out at me. You probably like, well, I already saw that. Okay, congratulations. But you did better than I did, so that's great. But I, for some reason, it just all of a sudden hit me. Let me read it again. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. That's, why does he leave his servants? If you think about it, that's interesting. He left his servant in verse 3. Why does he leave his servant, I wonder? Is there any significance to that? Okay, so he leaves his servant. Now I just saw something else. Verse 4, he himself, the text stresses that he goes by himself. He went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. And then here's what really jumped out at me today. For I'm not better than my fathers. For I'm not better than my fathers. What do you make of that? What is Elijah trying to say? Hey, take me, kill me now. I'm not better than my fathers. What is he trying to say there? Does this give us some insight to what he's thinking and what he's feeling? All right, so let's go through your assignments. Read it, read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. Outline. Right? Number three, Jezreel. Become an expert in the Jezreel area. Make sure you connect the right Jezreel area with the right area being mentioned here. Is there any significance to it? From Jezreel, he ends up in Beersheba. He goes to, in fact, let me read it directly. He came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah. right? Any significance to Beersheba? Find the right Beersheba. Any significance? From Beersheba, he goes a day's journey into the wilderness and finds himself under a juniper tree. Any significance to being under the juniper tree? Any significance to that tree? Why is it mentioned? Let me know. Then I want you to spend the week thinking, meditating on depression, discouragement, and suicidal thoughts in the life of a believer. All right? I really, really want you to think about that. All right? I really, really do. And then, lastly, I know this week is starting with a lot of assignments. I know that. I want you to consider, I am not better than my fathers. What do you think he means by that? How is he not better than his fathers? Not better in what way? What does that say about his state of mind? Is that giving us some clue? It's just interesting because in chapter 18, remember, he's looking at everyone saying, hey, I'm the only one. He even tells God, I'm the only one. And then in 19, he's like, I'm not better than my fathers. Three times he says, two times in 19, he tells God, I'm the only one. So once in 18, he tells the people once, I'm the only one. And then in chapter 19, he tells God twice that he's the only one. But it's interesting that in chapter 19, before he tells God that he's the only one, he says, I'm not better than my fathers. Just an interesting contrast. I'm the only one. I'm no better than my fathers. What does he mean by that? I want you to think about it. And then he's going to tell God, I'm the only one. And then God's going to have to tell him, no, you're not the only one. Which, again, all interesting and trying to figure out what happens here. So there you have it. Oh, I want to do more. I want to try to start taking this apart. But I think that Sunday's a good day to throw out a lot of the assignments because that gives you a whole week to start working on them. All right. If anybody needs me to repeat the assignments, please ask now. If you don't ask, I'm going to assume you have it. And then you can just, back it up and try to find all of the points that I made or all the assignments I listed out for you, and you can have them there. All right. Okay. I'm going to assume that everyone's got it. Everyone's got them written down. Everybody's good to go. Obviously, members of Victory Baptist Church. If you need me to repeat the assignments, you know how to contact me. Obviously, those who are listening, if you missed anything, you can always email me, newsif@yahoo.com. You obviously know how to contact me, and that's good. Thank you, Will, for that information. Another resource to use, gotquestions.org. I use it frequently, and Juniper Tree, and it refers to it as the broom tree. All right. And so if you look in the dictionary, I didn't even think about this. You'll have to look under plants of the Bible. I think in the New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, Nelson's, I believe it's listed as juniper tree. But if there's an entry for broom tree, you may want to check that out as well. And just to ensure that we look at how many English translations and see do all the English translations refer to it as a juniper tree, or do some of the English translations refer to it as a broom tree? All right. I'm looking at my iPad and different notifications. No, that's a... All right. I'm looking at the Edify Christian podcast app, and I just got notified that on the Edify Christian podcast, the Council of Chalcedon with Dr. Richard Price was just added to the Edify Christian podcast app. That sounds like some good church history to listen to, but I don't have a chance to listen to it now because, well, I'm here doing my own broadcast. But that looks like an interesting thing on the Edify Christian podcast app. All right, there we have it. I hope that was decent. I hope so. I always feel like when I give just more assignments that I feel like I should have done more, but that's doing the assignments this way is one of the reasons we do the Bible study exercises. So there you have it. Make it a good week of study. I really want to hear your thoughts about discouragement, depression, suicidal thoughts, what you've been taught, maybe what you're being taught, and where you kind of stand, maybe your own struggles with, how to think biblically about this. I think the church has done a lot of hurt to people who struggle with depression and discouragement and maybe suicidal thoughts. I think the church in many cases have not been very compassionate and loving. It's almost like, oh, you're weak, you're not spiritual, you're demon possessed, maybe you're not even saved. And I think that that's very disappointing, to say the least. I think that's very disappointing, all right? Because that's not the way it should be. All right. I'll stop right there. You can email me, newsif@yahoo.com, newsif@yahoo.com. Everyone have a great day. I should be back on the air here shortly. I'm going to try to do at least one more thing before I go home for the day. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where the rest of the afternoon goes. All right. Thank you for listening. Everyone have a great day. God bless.